we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
U.S. federal agency hacked by malicious actors. This hot new gig economy platform is for evicting people from their homes. Facebook is worried that an EU ruling may force it out of the Eurozone. And hackers are actively exploiting the Windows Zero logon flaw. Hey everybody, it's Mark Jeftovic here with another episode of Access of Easy. This is number 165. I'm taping this on September 28th, 2020. And we are going to put the show notes for this week's edition on accessofeasy.com/165. Last week's quote was, "The disappearance of a sense of responsibility is the most far-reaching consequence of submission to authority." That was Stanley Milgram of the infamous Milgram experiments. That's the one where the guy proved you could get people to listen to you and do almost anything if you just stand there in a white lab coat and tell them to do it. The winner was Lonnie Simmons. This week's quote is, "Persisting social crisis, the emergence of a charismatic personality, and the exploitation of mass media to obtain public confidence would be the stepping stones in the piecemeal transformation of the United States into a highly controlled society." Remember the rules, no searching it up online, and the first person to post the correct source of the quote to the show notes page, which I just gave you, gets their next web hosting or domain renewal on us. Okay, so a U.S. federal agency was hacked by malicious actors. Last week, the U.S. Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, released a bulletin and they outlined a successful attack, penetration, and exfiltration of data from an unnamed federal agency. They didn't disclose which agency it was, but they did say it was a civilian one, not military. Anyway, the report does a really deep dive into the exact mechanics of the attack, from how they used compromised access credentials to gain initial access to the agency's Microsoft O365 accounts. And then they leverage that into a comprehensive penetration into the network's file systems and the installation of a reverse shell. They describe the various hacker tools that they used, the malware employed, even the IP addresses of the VPNs they came from and the CNC nodes. And the report concludes with an overview of defensive measures that you could use to deflect against an attack like this. It was pretty interesting, all told. In a related note, hackers are actively exploiting the Windows Zero logon flaw. So another government agency, this time the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, sent out an alert about this recently discovered Windows 10 bug. It's been known for a few weeks. A reader sent me a couple of links about it. You know who you are. Thanks for that. Sorry, I never got it in last week. So the CISA agency that we just mentioned in the prior piece also issued an alert requiring all federal departments and agencies to immediately patch all vulnerable versions of Windows. So the Zero logon flaw has been assigned CVE-2020-1472. It's a privilege escalation attack. It exploits a flaw in the Microsoft Net logon protocol, and it enables attackers to hijack domain controllers, and it has been assigned the maximum level of seriousness available to mankind. Here's a hot new gig economy platform that is for evicting people from their homes. So Vice's Motherboard broke the story last week about a company calling itself the fastest money-making gig due to COVID-19. And it's like Uber, but for evicting people. It's a company called Civil, and it's a side hustle gig economy platform that recruits people to act as process servers and eviction crews. I tried to look at Civil's website. I kept getting redirected to some moving company's website called MoveQuick. Maybe it's a thing. I'm wondering if it's just for American traffic and they're routing all non-American traffic to this other site. But the company does have ads posted to Craigslist. Somebody took a web archive of it, so we linked to the Craigslist ad via the web archive. Quotes, eviction junk haulers, foreclosure movers, process servers needed, earn up to $125 an hour, sign up here and start working in less than a week, end quote. I'm not really sure how this squares with the U.S. federal moratorium on residential evictions, because that's supposed to be still in effect until December 31st, but there we are. Reminds me of a movie I once saw called 99 Homes about an unemployed single father who goes to work repossessing homes in the aftermath of the global financial crisis. It didn't end well. Facebook worried that EU ruling may force it out of the Eurozone. So here's another salvo in the tension between big tech platforms and nation states. Facebook is worried that they may have to stop operating in Europe over a preliminary ruling that moving the European citizen data to US-based servers violates EU data privacy laws. The ruling took place earlier in the summer, and it found that there were inadequate protections in place to protect European citizen data from U.S. intelligence agency snooping. Facebook is saying it may have to pull out of Europe entirely if they stick to their guns on this, and that kind of reminds me of the hissy fit Uber and Lyft threw when a California judge ruled that tech unicorns can't externalize their labor costs. In any case, the U.S. stance on ubiquitous surveillance on everybody all the time is coming back to bite Facebook, so I know that I'm experiencing a little bit of cognitive dissonance over a couple of government-originated rulings that are not ass backwards, but my heart is not bleeding for the big tech players who are crying foul over it. Also, Jesse Hirsch wrote a MetaViews piece on Facebook's big stick diplomacy, and we're linking to that in the show notes. LAPD denies using facial recognition, but has used it 30,000 times since 2009. The assistant chief of police of the LAPD had to walk back earlier denials that the agency did not use facial recognition software in the pursuit of leads or suspects. It turns out they've turned to a database owned by the Los Angeles County Regional Identification System, which has a database of about 9 million mugshots, and they had to use that about 30,000 times since 2009. The database itself was built by a company called DataWorks Plus. Jesse Hirsch mentioned them in an earlier MetaViews piece on facial recognition technology. And facial recognition is controversial because it has this nasty tendency to be wrong about faces it identifies, and sometimes it can lead law enforcement agencies to arrest the wrong person. And the Mashable article we link to goes over some of that. Tesla network systems crash globally. So there is a recent global outage across Tesla's entire computer network. It didn't do anything to the cars while they were driving, but company employees were unable to process orders or tickets, and customers couldn't connect to their vehicles via the apps, and the Tesla website was also down. The outage was not confined to the cars. The same thing was happening to its solar and Powerwall systems, with owners being unable to connect and monitor their installations. So, while this outage didn't grind everything to a complete halt, I think it's a good harbinger of where all this is going once we decide to load everything we possibly can onto somebody else's computer, also known as the cloud. Twitter suspends doctor who also says COVID-19 came out of a Wuhan lab. So a couple weeks ago, a Chinese virologist named Dr. Li Mengyang turned whistleblower, and she set up a Twitter account and started making allegations that her work made her aware of human-to-human COVID transmission. In late December 2019, she tried to communicate what she knew to officials in January. She also alleges that the virus was manufactured or modified in the same Wuhan lab that Zero Hedge was asking questions about in February, which got them suspended from Twitter. A few months later, Zero Hedge's account was reinstated. So Dr. Yang quickly amassed a following of 60,000 people or more in a matter of days. She had only posted 4 tweets, one of which linked to a paper she co-authored about the anomalies in the virus before Twitter suspended her account. So I'm not saying that she's right and Twitter is suppressing the truth. What I'm saying is that I am vindicated yet again in what I said in chapter 4 of my book, Does Deplatforming Work? No, it doesn't. If the ostensible objective is to dampen the spread of so-called conspiracy theories, then the way Twitter handled this was the exact opposite way to not spread it. Had they done nothing, I, for one, would have never heard of this person, and then neither would you. So a nice contrasting way to handle this is actually the Li Mengyang Wikipedia entry, because there you see all the perspectives coming out in the wash as the public domain editors battle over what's going on in that page. Although we have discussed here before, and we do link to it in the show notes page, Wikipedia has lost grip on the neutral point of view mandate in a lot of its instances. And as far as this particular conspiracy theory goes, it is worth knowing, and largely unreported here in the West, that Dr. Luc Montagné, who was awarded the 2008 Nobel Prize for Medicine for his discovery of the HIV virus, has also stated that COVID-19 has to have been modified by humans. But to be fair, there, I do link in the show notes to an article debunking Montagnier's claims. All right. My whole point here is that coronavirus is a contentious issue, and it's made more so when big tech picks and chooses who gets to have their say and who doesn't. This week on the Access of Easy Salon number 23, Lords of the Algos, Jesse, Charles, and myself discussed the need for algorithmic advocates, sort of our own personal algos or agents whose sole job it is to protect our interests from everybody else's algos and surveillance. Also, Jesse took a deep look at the collective versus individual aspects of data privacy, and Charles Hughes Smith observed that whatever can't be politicized ceases to exist. So check out the Lords of the Algos in Salon number 23, also in the show notes page. And that would be it for this week. So I hope everybody's back to school is still going okay. Stay healthy, stay sane, stay calm, and we will see you all next week. Bangladesh, rhymes with your fresh. You just got home.